This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Good to see you guys this morning. Good to have you here. I'm glad that you're here. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 12, we're going through John and have that ready. If you have a worship guide, you can go ahead and open it up again on the back of the chairs. I almost said pews. On the back of the chairs is a sticker. You can get the worship guide that way, paper copies, whatever you want to do. And we're just glad that you're here today. I'm glad that I'm here Friday afternoon around 5 o'clock. I honestly didn't think I would be here this morning. Nothing bad, nothing major. But you ever had one of those days where you thought you had exactly what was going to happen and didn't turn out the way that you expected? Anybody else ever had that kind of day? And yet God's goodness is so good. And the light of God is so powerful. We were going Friday to Greenville, North Carolina to get our son Micah a car. I don't think he minds. He totaled his. Everybody's okay. He totaled his a few weeks ago, and he found one online in the middle of nowhere. When you find a car in the middle of nowhere, your parents need to go help you do that. So Stacy and I, our plan was go down Friday, one-day trip, and go down and get the car, buy it from this girl that we didn't know. We were figuring out who she was at the DMV. And then we would take it to New Bern, where he was going to show up later than that night. Turns out going the next day. We were going to give him the car. He was going to drive it back, and we were going to come back Friday night and be all ready. Well, on the way from, we got the car fine. On the way from Greenville to New Bern, the light came on. I get a phone call. Stacy's calling. She said that there's a flashing light on the dash. This is not good. And the engine's making this funky noise. And so she called our mechanic, and he says, stop driving it. When you hear that in the middle of the nowhere, I mean, I hate to say that. If you ever lived in middle of nowhere, you don't want anybody else saying that's the middle of nowhere, but we were in the middle of nowhere, okay? Vanceboro, which the people are very nice in Vanceboro, but it's swampland. And so we had to stop driving there, and they said, there happened to be O'Reilly's right there. They said, well, okay, we'll check the chip and see what the code is. And the code said there's a problem with cylinder one, don't drive it. And it's 4:30 on a Friday. You know what happens on 4:30 on a Friday in a small town? They roll up the streets, everybody turns the light on, and they go to bed. So that's kind of what was happening. You go, what are our options? So I called the dealer, the closest dealer, and the guy goes, well, this is probably the problem. Don't drive it. Bring it to us, and we'll get to it Monday morning. And it's like, Monday morning, okay. How are we going to get from here to Monday morning? What's going to happen? So it's like, okay, we'll just get on the phone and make some calls. We had to call a tow truck anyway, so the tow truck's going to show up a little after 5:30. It kept getting later. You ever had that happen, too? It gets later and later when they're going to show up. But the guy was really nice. And so the dealer had made arrangements. We would go and drop the car off, and we'd get it Monday, and we got to figure it out from there. But God has some amazing things happening out there. So we called Micah's girlfriend, okay, Micah's girlfriend's parents. Her dad is a pastor. We were going to take them to dinner, and we said, we're not going to make it to dinner. We're stuck in Vanceboro. They said, well, we'll come get you. We said, well, that's really nice, but we've got two cars. We can maybe get there, but we're not going to make it in time for dinner. He says, well, you guys can stay with us. You're so pleasant about it. They go, we think we can find you a mechanic. Now, it's 4:30 on a Friday, right? It's probably closer to 5. We think we can find you a mechanic, get this fixed. We said, great. Because we don't want to stay here. We love the place. We don't want to stay here till Monday morning and then miss church and all that good stuff. So anyway, get two mechanic names, called one of them. He was going to Raleigh. The other one, the shop had closed. So I go, okay, what are we going to do? And so then we made another phone call. Well, actually, Danny called Allie, who's our daughter-in-law, called her father, who they all live in New Bern, okay? And my sister lives in New Bern. And so anyway, called Todd, which is Allie's dad. Todd knew this other guy that had the shop, but it was closed. And he goes, I have his home number. I'm going to call him at home. So he calls him at home. The guy goes, he calls me right back. He goes, Mr. Norris, I'll get it first thing in the morning. And this is what happens, right, when God's good and you're in the midst of a strange place. You go, okay, all right, I don't know how this is going to work. But my sister said, you guys come and stay with us. So Friday night, on my way behind the tow truck on the way to this shop in New Bern, we followed them all the way there. Then we had to stop at Target to get all the stuff that you don't have when you're spending the night. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you don't plan to stay, and there's toothbrush and toothpaste and that kind of stuff you got to pick up. So we got all that. Got to spend the night, get to see family. Next morning, got down to the car place. He goes, I think it's just a spark plug. But it could be a lot worse, and you may have to new engine. That's not what you want to hear, right? It could be a spark plug. We're going to try that. If it doesn't work, we'll keep it for a while. It's like, okay, I guess we're going to stay in New Bern. But I'm going to make this really short. About 2:30, he called and said, it's just a spark plug. And we're going to change all five of them. You're good to go. So we made it back. So I didn't have to call Brandon and say, Brandon, you got 10 hours to come up with a sermon for that. Or, you know, or we're going to do extra music or just going to call today a prayer day, you know. But God is so good, even in the midst of these hard times. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been there before where you just don't know this is how it's going to work and everybody's on the phone going, and we actually have people going, we'll give you a car. We'll give you a car you can drive back, not keep it, but you got to bring it back to us eventually. Or you can stay with us. We had multiple offers to stay, and everything worked out exactly when we needed it to work out. It was so cool. And I think when you're walking in the goodness of God and you don't, like, you're not used to, like, noticing it all the time. You ever get kind of immune to that? You're so used to the goodness of God that you don't notice the light. You know what I'm talking about? Because the light's always shining and you're so blessed and you're going, okay, life is good. And then when it's not good and you go, okay, but God's goodness is there and the light of God, you just go, wow, God, you are so amazing. You're so amazing. Even the little details of our life is so fun to see him do that. Throughout the Bible, this idea of light and dark is just in there constantly, the goodness of God. The Bible starts that way. There was darkness and then there was light. The book of John is filled with this imagery of light and darkness. Jesus is the light of the world, and he came to break through the darkness. In the Bible, darkness represents sin and immorality. It represents things like death, and it represents things like despair and the dark night of the soul, right? You know what I'm talking about, the darkness where you can't see, and you know what's around the corner, you're not sure. But then the Bible talks about the light punching through the darkness and how the light overcomes the darkness. I love Robert Louis Stevenson's story. He talked about when he was a little boy. He was an author, and he wrote about when he was a little boy. It was in the days before electricity, and the time when it was getting dark, the lamplighters would go out in the city, and they would climb their ladders with a little wick and lit match, and they would light the lamps through the city. And as a little boy, Robert Louis Stevenson looked at these guys and said to his parents, they're punching through the darkness. They're punching light through the darkness. And that's exactly what Jesus does, isn't it? He comes into your life and punches through the darkness of our life and brings the light of God's goodness and grace and mercy into our life. And that's the Jesus that we're studying this year as we look at the Word of God. John chapter 12, verses 27 through 36 is our key passage for the day. There's a lot going on. Some of these passages in John, there's like one main idea. This one is just so packed full of stuff. We want to read it. To give you context of it, Jesus is in Jerusalem, a lot of detail now. He is there on his last week. What we call the triumphal entry has already happened. And last week we talked about how these Gentiles were brought to Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, he stopped everything. And he says, basically, it's time. This was the last bridge. The Jews have heard the message, they reject it. Now the Gentiles are coming, it's time for us to kind of wrap things up, and what's next is death. So it's kind of caught him thinking, all right, and them thinking too. So we're going to read 27 through 36. We're going to read through it and kind of break it down. It'll be on the screen behind me. Jesus is talking. He says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, Jesus said, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, the voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? So Jesus said to him, the light is among you a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons or children of light. Before we go on, let's just pray over the text. Father God, Jesus was just so full of emotion at this time, I believe, and had so much to say, and I just am so thankful that John wrote it down for us. And let Jesus be our teacher today in his words through your Bible. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we work through this, there's basically six pieces of this passage that I want to work with briefly just to explain what they are, and then we'll get kind of to what I want to talk about. But the six kind of headlines that I think that we go through this is really obvious. But the number one there, this is not on your outline, just so you can follow the scripture. Number one is it's the troubled soul of Jesus. Did that catch you when you heard that? Jesus says, my soul is troubled. The soul is your interior life. And the thing about Jesus is this, he was so innocent and so pure. And he had never experienced sin and had never done anything wrong and had never felt the shame of sin. And he suddenly realized at this moment, or at least he expresses at this moment, that I'm about to experience something I've never experienced before and I'm not looking forward to it. The sin that was going to invade his life, the darkness that was going to invade his soul was something he wanted nothing to do with in one sense. It troubled him. Right? I mean, they're at 3 hours on the cross, from 12 until 3. We know it was physically dark, right? The sun was covered during that time. And historians will tell us they didn't know what it was. But something happened. It's been recorded that something happened. It went dark from 12 to 3. We know what it was. It was when Jesus took on our sins. And at that moment, Jesus experienced the shame and the guilt and the thoughts and the lust, all the things that we do. He experienced it, and he knew this was coming. He goes, that troubles me. That troubles me. And then he says to them, do I skip it or not? And he said, this is the whole reason I'm here. This is my hour, and I'm not going to walk away from it. And at this moment, I think he's thinking of you, and I think he's thinking of me, right? At this moment, he's thinking of us. He goes, that's why I'm here. I'm troubled because I've never experienced this. Think about an innocent person experiencing the worst of our sins. And he goes, that troubles me, but this is why I'm here. And I just appreciate his words because he's saying, I'm just like you. I'm just like you. I am troubled by this. His humanity is just exposed to us this moment. And I don't want to go through it, but I'm going to go through it because that's why I'm here. So he expresses that to them. And the second thing that happened, and number two, is the voice of God is heard. It's the third time that we hear the voice of God in the life of Jesus, out loud at least. Very interesting. It's at the baptism when Jesus is baptized and the Father looks down and goes, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. That was the first time. Second time is the transfiguration when Jesus is up there in all his glory and he's shining bright. And Simon Peter is up there with John. And Simon's like going, we got to do something. Let's build tabernacles. Let's do this. Let's do that. And the voice of God just interrupts him and says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. It's like, shut up, Simon Peter. Just listen to Jesus, right? That's the second time that God the Father spoke. And this is the third time. Jesus says, I want to glorify your name. And the Father speaks out of heaven. He says, I have glorified it, and I'm going to do it again because the cross is the greatest glory to God event in human history, right? The cross is when God gets the most glory. Because that's when his forgiveness and his mercy and his grace and his pure love is poured out on the earth. And Christ receives on the cross our sins. And this is when God gets all the glory. And an interesting thing, it says the people said, I hear thunder. And some people said, I hear an angel. But John heard the voice of God. Why did they mishear? Here's my guess. The crowd, some of them are walking in darkness and they don't understand God's voice at all. It's just noise to them. Then there's a group that kind of get it. They're getting closer, but they're not quite there yet. And then John goes, this was the voice of God. I think it's the same today. People that walk in darkness don't hear from God. It's just noise to them, background noise. And then other people kind of hear it, but they're not quite there yet. But then if you're walking in the light, you hear the voice of God and it's clear to you. That's why walking in the light is so important. I get it. I know what God's saying. So there's that piece. The third piece is that Jesus talks about now it's time for judgment and for victory. He says, it's time for judgment to come. And you might be confused by that. I'm a little confused by that because Jesus said, I didn't come to judge. I didn't come to condemn. So what does he mean? This is what I believe he means. When he's on the cross, he is making a statement. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to die for you. Your sin judges you. Now you know the price of sin. Now you know the cost of what you're doing. And once you know it, that judges you. You don't need anybody else to tell you that you are a sinner, right?
You ever had somebody tell you after you did something wrong that you did something wrong? You ever had that before? You know you messed up. You don't need anybody to tell you messed up. I was in an accident. Why were you in an accident? I ran a red light. You shouldn't do that. Well, I know that now. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You don't need to tell anybody when you've done wrong, right? You know it. On the cross, Jesus is saying, this is the time where you see your need for a Savior. And that truth condemns you. And that truth judges you. I'm not doing it. You're doing it. That's what the cross says. And then he says this, it's time for the ruler of this world to be cast out. It's time for Satan to be defeated. And you go, I don't understand that. Because if he was defeated on the cross, why is he still here? You ever thought about that? If Satan was defeated by Jesus on the cross, why is he still here? Why is the judgment later? Can I tell you this, that Satan is a defeated enemy. He's a defeated enemy in this world. He's still the ruler of this world. In that sense, but he's defeated, and he knows he's defeated. His whole thing is to bring as many people down with him as possible. If you've ever seen the movie Saving Private Ryan, or if you know the history behind it, you know at the time that it's depicted that Europe was dominated by Nazi Germany, right? Nazi Germany had come in and taken over all of Europe. The Allies were fighting back, and on D-Day is the day that we landed troops on the shores of France to begin pushing back the darkness. Well, I love the movie Saving Private Ryan. If you've ever seen it or not seen it, you know, Tom Hanks is the main character, and they're in the boats, they're getting ready to land, and his hand is shaking with fear. And the other guys are praying, and they're doing different things because they know they're about to go into something very difficult. They're troubled in their soul, right? And the real people who experienced that day were troubled in their soul, so why did they do it? They wanted to free the captives. They wanted to set them free. They wanted to bring light to the darkness of Nazi Germany that had conquered Europe. And that day they landed on, that day they pushed back the darkness and they began the long defeat of Nazi Germany. It took another year, but from that moment on, Nazi Germany was defeated. When Jesus was on the cross, Satan was defeated. Until the judgment day, he's still here, but he's a defeated enemy. When we give in to him, we give in to a defeated one instead of turning to the conquering one. And that's what Jesus is talking about. It's time now for judgment. And it's time now for victory. The fourth thing he talks about is being lifted up. As we just kind of go through this passage, he says, now's the time for the Son of Man to be lifted up. And he meant simply this, it's time for me to go up on the cross. And it's time to be lifted up out of the grave. And after that, it's time for me to be ascended. This is the sign of the Messiah. He will be lifted up. And he says, I will draw all peoples to me. Every people group in the world will be drawn to me. But you have to be able to see me. I'm going to be lifted up. And he talks about that. And the people are going, I don't understand. I don't get it. And that leads to the fifth thing, the misunderstanding about the Messiah. They thought that Jesus was going to be a forever king. That's all they were looking for. And then they thought this, the Messiah would basically be two people. There'd be the forever king, and there'd be the suffering Messiah of Isaiah. Two people. One would die, and one would live forever. And it's why Jews today don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. There are completed Jews who see Jesus as the full package. But for the group then, they go, we don't get it. We have a view of God. Jesus doesn't fit it, so we reject him. Do you know people like that today? I have a view of God. The view of the Bible I don't agree with because it means I got to change, so I reject him. I reject him because he's not what I want. I want this kind of God. This is exactly what the Jews were doing. I want this kind of God. I want him to come and reign. And they go, well, Jesus is both. He's a suffering servant, and he's the Messiah who will reign forever. And we don't get it. Many of them never got it. People got it, go, I see Jesus is the forever king and the suffering servant, all wrapped up together. And that finally brings us to number six, is where I want to kind of talk a little bit more. The sixth thing he talks about is simply walking in the light. And I think that affects most of us today. In John 12:35, he wrote this, my light will shine for you just a little longer. I'm going to die, and I'm going to live. So he gives them a command, and he says, walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. You ever found that to be true? You ever been in a place where you could not see and it was dark? Have you ever walked into a wall before because it was so dark in the house, and you just kind of planted your nose against it and you go, I think I took a wrong turn there, and I don't think I can see very well. Our dog is getting old. I've talked Jack the dog stories for years, and he's getting old now. He's been old for a while. And then and when you take him out, he has to go out in the middle of the night now. He's old. So sometimes around 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I find myself out with him, and he's walking through the darkness, and he walks right into a tree, or he walks right into a bush, and I have to stop and pull around because he can't see. He gets lost in the darkness. And that's what Jesus says happens to people all the time. You get lost. Not in physical darkness, but in spiritual darkness. You take the path. You go down a road. You think it's leading somewhere, but it leads you in the wrong direction. And he says, don't do that. Walk in the light. And that's where you'll find real life. So how do you walk in the light? I want to do this kind of quickly, but there's three ways to walk in the light. If we want to be in the light of Jesus, this is how you do it. And number one there on your outline, this is on your outline. Number one is this, it starts in your heart. It starts in the heart. That's where it was with Jesus. He was troubled in his heart that he was about to experience sin for the first time. And my question for you and myself is this, am I as troubled about my sin as Jesus is? Am I as troubled about my sin as Jesus is? A lot of times we forgive ourselves really easy with a statement, God understands. He gets it. I'm weak. He understands. But remember when Jesus was on the cross, he was troubled. Does our sin trouble us? Does the fact that we sin, like we look at Jesus on the cross and go, I put him there. Do you ever feel that? If our heart gets really callous, we go, okay, it's the cross. It's Jesus on the cross. I've heard it before. But does it trouble us when we sin? You know, sin is easy to point out in other people. You ever notice that? And it's not popular to talk about sin. I know that. It's like, let's talk about something else for a while. But we'll just talk about it for a second, all right? Let's deal with it. Sin is easy to spot in other people. It's like, okay, sexual immorality, all right? Drugs, crime. Violence, hatred, prejudice. Okay, they're evil. I get it. That's darkness. What about a critical spirit? What about judgment? What about selfishness? God, I just want to do what I want to do. And I don't really want to do what you want me to do. I mean, that, if you think about Jesus on the cross and his purity and our impurity, think about those things. It bothered Jesus to be on the cross. It troubled his soul. It starts with the heart. How do we think about our sin? Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Be careful what you put in there. We linger too long on certain things on the internet. We listen too easily to gossip. We allow negative things in our heart about God and about people to kind of stay there a little too long. And the Bible says, guard that heart and protect it, because that's where it starts, your desire to live in the light. Have you heard the Native American story? You know what I'm talking about, where the grandfather is talking to the grandson, and he says, basically, inside of us, there's two wolves. You heard this story? I've heard it too. And I think it's interesting. The basic idea is you got an evil wolf and you got a good wolf. One's dark and one's light, and they're inside and they're always fighting for control. And the little boy asks his grandfather, well, which one of those wolves wins? And he goes, well, the one you feed the most. Are you feeding the darkness one, or are you feeding the light one? And I think that's a good analogy. I would take it one step further. I would say it's the one you unleash. It's the one you unleash. If you unleash the darkness, if you stay in that place where the darkness is, you unleash it, and the light retreats. When you unleash the light of Christ in your life, into your heart, it wins. Which one do you unleash? And at that moment where we feel that happening, we know, right? And it's not easy to confront that, but we know. It starts in the heart. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. So it starts in the heart. Number two, it focuses on giving glory to God. This is what Jesus was all about. Giving glory to God. How often does that kind of dominate our thoughts? This was the priority of Jesus. He said, Father, in verse 28, he says, Father, glorify your name. That's why I'm going to the cross. I want you to get the glory. Now, the word glory in the book of John, 19 times, it's the word doxa. Basically, it means God's glory is his goodness and his faithfulness and his mercy and his grace and his love. And it's like shining a light out. To think that everything I do, I want to shine the light on God. I want him to get the glory and not me. And to live that way is to live in the light. Some of us had to learn the shorter Westminster Catechism. Did anybody learn that as a kid? It's the set of questions and answers. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, here's a question, here's the answer. It's a way of teaching theology. And most of us have probably heard the first one. This is the first one. It's a question. What is the chief end of man? Do you remember the answer? Here's the answer. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Why do you exist? To shine the light on God, his goodness and his greatness, on Jesus. I want him to be glorified, and I just want to enjoy him. This is the world that Jesus walked in his heart, in his life. I heard a story the other day, I'd never heard this before, about Alexander the Great. There's so many Alexander the Great stories, that's why they call him Alexander the Great, I think. But they told this story of how, as he conquered his way from Macedonia toward Asia, they would bring him at the end of the day soldiers that needed judgment, and he would sit on the judgment seat. And so there had been a battle, and he, at the end of the day, he was sitting in his judgment seat, and they bring a soldier to him, and they said, this soldier was caught deserting, and he needs to be judged. And Alexander the Great says to the soldier, what's your name? And the soldier says, Alexander. That's my name. And Alexander the Great looked at him and says, you either need to change your name or you need to change your behavior. You're not living up to the name we share. So you either need to change your name, don't call yourself Alexander anymore, or change your way of life. We are Christians. We go by the name of Jesus. We need to change our behavior or change your name. And walking in the light means you're going to live in the light, and I'm going to live in the light as Jesus lives in us. And I love that story. I wrapped up this week my class. It was so cool. I told you guys I'm teaching a class of Rwandan students online. They're all wanting to be pastors. One's a lawyer, one's a computer guy, another guy's in security. Most of them have families. They're sacrificing a lot. And I didn't know how to, I've never taught a class before. I never taught Rwandans before. I've never used Moodle before, which is the portal we have to use. I had to learn so much from them just to teach the class, but I learned a lot from them because the last assignment, the whole thing was leading up to teach a 5-minute lesson and video yourself, and then I get to see it. And so I'm watching them trying to grade them, and they are like in their rooms, in their homes, and they're recording this, some of them in the middle of the night because they're being really quiet. And I just was taken by their wisdom. It's so good to like listen to someone from a different culture. They put things differently. And one of the students, interestingly enough, his name was Patrick. So we share a name together, right? So we kind of had this connection. And he wrote about what does it mean to live the Christian life. And this is what he said in his study. He said, it's not an option. It's an obligation. I thought that's really, really powerful. When we give our lives to Jesus, we no longer have options. We gave it up. I belong to you, Jesus. And he says obligation, not that we owe God. God's not, we can't ever pay God back because of what he did for us on the cross. Now we serve him. We walk in the light as an obligation. You did this for me, Jesus. Now I want to live for you. I want to give you the glory. That's what walking in the light is all about. So I'm giving Patrick today the credit for that because it was just a wise thing. I have like 2 or 3 things I'm saving for later from these students. And I just am so overwhelmed by their dedication to the Lord. And they just want to shine the light on Jesus in the nation of Rwanda, which is recovering from the darkness of a genocide where 1 out of 10 were killed by their neighbors. By their neighbors. And now they're finding forgiveness and grace and light again. Last one, number 3, and we'll wrap up with this. It requires trusting Jesus, the true light. If we're going to walk in light, it requires trusting Jesus, who's the true light. Verse 36 in the New Living says this, put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you'll become children in the light. You follow the light. You follow the light. One of the things that we found when we were driving, we're in the middle of nowhere. You know what happens in the middle of nowhere at night? You know what I'm talking about? It's dark. I mean, here we have street lights. When you go out in the middle of nowhere and there's no light, it is dark. And the darkness puts right up into the edge of your headlamps, right? You know what I'm talking about? Beyond that, there's complete darkness. And if you're like me and you're in Eastern North Carolina or anywhere else, there are deer. They're going to run in front of you at any moment. You know, you're or bears. Like, we know somebody ran into a bear and they ruined their car. And right on the edge of the light is the darkness. There is a sharp edge. And as you're driving, this is something I figured out, and you probably knew this already. The light's not coming from me, right? Where's the light coming from? The car, the headlight. And that's what's producing the light. When you follow Jesus, you're not producing the light. I'm not producing the light. He's producing the light. I'm just in the car, and I'm following the light that he's producing. And that's what it means to trust Jesus. Okay, I can't see ahead. It's dark to me. Okay. My soul is dark, Jesus. I'm despaired. Okay, I'm going to shine the light. Just find the light and follow the light. Find the light and follow the light. You can't produce the light. The light's already there from Jesus. You just follow it. Just follow it. And I think that's so true of us. I'll close with this story. 2 weeks ago, I did, out of fun, I'm going to call it fun, I entered a bicycle race. And it wasn't a race. It was a fun do, okay? It was like a couple hours of torture. That's what it was. And it was like I registered. There were two of them. One was 42 miles, the other was 68. I went to register, get my stuff, and the guy goes, oh, you're in the short race. I go, okay. 42 miles is a short race. If that's what you say, okay, shame me a little bit. That's all right. I'm in the short race. And so we lined up, and everybody's all dressed in their stuff. I'm in a T-shirt and shorts. I don't have all this stuff. And so we leave, and the police are out in front of us, and they're shining their lights. It's really cool. And we got to ride our bikes through the stoplights. It was so much fun. Like, I was in this mass group. It was like, we're all breaking the law. But the police are allowing us to do this. We run through the red lights, and they're going really fast, way too fast for me. So I stuck with them for maybe a mile or two, and then I can't hold this pace for like any longer, so I got to drop off. So you kind of like get separated from everybody. So there was four of us that I was separated with. One guy was Steve. Steve is a pastor. We got to meet before, so I knew Steve's name. The second one I called British Bob Fye. Now, Bob Fye is one of our elders, if you know Bob. And this guy was from Britain. He looked like Bob, wearing, you know, sunglasses and a helmet. And I never used his name, but in my mind, that's British Bob Fye. I stepped close to British Bob Fye. And then there was the other guy. It was a tall guy on a mountain bike. I never knew his name. And so the four of us would ride together. We get separated a little bit or whatever. And the first 20 miles was fun. It was fun. I was flying. You're going with these guys. And then forgot that that's only halfway, you know. And there's another 40, you know, 20 miles to go. And it got hot, and the wind started blowing, and inexperience and being out of shape started to kick in. And so I'm in this last part, and I'm going, this is not fun anymore. This is just attrition, right? Can I finish it? And have you ever been there before where you're just worn out and you go, I got to finish this because I got to, one day I'm going to tell people I was in this thing. And I was like, I didn't quit. But what happened was, like, the four of us kind of, like, Steve disappeared. That's a whole different story. Didn't see him the second half of the trip. He's okay. But tall guy in a mountain bike stayed right in front of me, maybe 200 yards. But what tall guy in a mountain bike had that saved me, and I didn't think about it at the time, but on the back of his bike, you know what he had? He had a flashing light, and it would go like a heartbeat. And my heartbeat was going, all right? But his thing was going, and what I did in my mind is I attached an invisible rope to that light, and I attached it to my bike, you know? So when he would go fast, I would go faster. I didn't go fast. When he would slow down, I'd slow down. But for the rest of that thing, all I did was look at that light. And as long as I followed the light, I was good, and I did finish, and I didn't die, okay? Live to tell. But I think that's how life is, isn't it? When you're a follower of Jesus, he's out in front, and he's shining a light. And he goes, this is their way. Walk in the light. Don't go off to the side. Don't go in your own direction. Stay out of the darkness. It's dangerous over there. Stay in the light. Live in the light. That's where Jesus is. So that's my challenge to you today. That's my challenge to myself. In a very dark world, I don't need to tell you how dark our world is. I don't need to tell you how dark our soul is sometimes. But Jesus is the pure light. And all we do to walk in the light is follow Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for life. I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for your forgiveness of our sins. I thank you for sending Jesus, and that we as a people live on the other side of the cross, where the light has entered, and we just need to follow the light. We don't need to invent the light. We don't have to create the light. We are not the source of light. Jesus is. We just follow him in his light. Shine the light on us today. Teach us what it means to follow him. Teach us what it means to be like him. Give us a heart for light, a taste for the light, and a disgust at the darkness and the sense of being in our own soul. Reveal to us those areas where we just have a heart that wants something else, and change our hearts, Father, from the inside out. I pray for anybody here today that just needs help with that. We all need help with it. Maybe in a certain area that they struggle in, give them the power to overcome, the power that is unleashed in Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. We're always here at the end of the services to pray with you. There'll be a group over here to pray with you if you would like that. And to help you to follow Jesus. Maybe you don't know him, and we just like, you know, introduction to him and who he's about, who he is and what he's about. Today, as normal, we're going to do communion. It's a great follow-up to what we talked about. And John is this author. He just was so fascinated with the light of Jesus. He wrote this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. He said this, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." To me, this is picture, right, of all of us together. It's why we gather as a group. Followers of Jesus, and we're walking down this road, and on the edge of the road, it's just completely dark. But where we are, there's light. And as we walk, we're so different, aren't we? We have different political views. You like losing football teams. I like winning football teams, okay? You like certain colleges that are wrong. I like certain colleges that are right, right? You like movies that I hate. I like movies that you wouldn't even watch. You like certain kinds of music that I don't like, and I like certain kinds that you don't like. There's food that I will stuff my face with that you won't even touch, right? And vice versa. We're so different. But on this road, what holds us together? Right? We can be different. It's okay to be different. But we are held together by Jesus Christ, who shines a light. We're just walking together, broken people, different people. But we have fellowship with one another because of one important thing. One important person, Jesus. And the important thing is he cleanses us from sin. Every one of us. Every one of us. And that's beautiful. In the communion bread and the communion juice, it's a representative that we are cleansed. And we can walk together in that kind of fellowship in the light of Jesus, as different as we are. So after I pray, let's celebrate communion. Jesus made it possible. So let's pray. Father God, your spirit is a powerful, powerful thing. You're a powerful person that you can bring such a different group together. Not just in this room, but all over the world. We're so different. And yet we share Jesus. And we're just walking in the light, cleansed from sin because of who he is. And we glorify his name. At this moment, we're going to reflect on the cross. His death. The body broken for us, the blood shed for us, that we could be together today in Christ. In the beauty of his light, fill us with light as we eat and drink. In the name of Jesus, amen. When you're ready, come and receive communion. They're on three different tables. If you know Christ, it's open to you.